We also have Garrett Crawford with us. And, you know, he's got a testimony. You know, we pray. We've all prayed for our loved ones. We'd love to see them escape some of the things that are coming upon this world. And Garrett's no different. He's been praying for his family and talking to them. And the Lord sent them a vessel to answer his prayers. Garrett, you want to tell them about that?
Sure. Let me first ask if my sound quality is okay, because I got a headset on.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Okay, just chime in, and I'll take it off and just go to the phone if my sound quality gets bad. Well, I moved down here in October of 2010, and I had been telling my family for 2 years that I was going to move down here. The Lord told me what day I would be down here, and, in that day I came down here. He told me a date. I waited 2 years, and then it came to pass. And I think it kind of shocked them all because, you know, they just thought I was just, you know, talking or having delusions of grandeur. I guess they didn't think I really believed that, you know, we are coming to the end times and that I did need to make sacrifices to put myself in a position to be safe, because I left, you know, a pretty good job up there. Me and my dad had a little business going and making money and prospering and, you know, doing pretty good. And, so I left, and, my dad really had a hard time with it. He had a hard time with me leaving. But once I left, he kind of calmed down a little bit. It wasn't as big a deal as he thought, I guess, because the Lord softened the blow for him. When I left, my dad was still able to do the work we were doing by himself, and that calmed his anxiety a little bit. My parents were divorced, I should say, but and my mom, you know, she's a believer, and she's listened to the Bible study, and, you know, she's talked to David and David's minister to her a few times. And, you know, she's on board. She's just, you know, a little bit, she's very guarded and very, watchful on what she believes, concerning these times. And, you know, she realizes, what's happening in the world with the earthquakes and whatnot. And she sees the punished post. Whereas my dad is having a hard time with the whole end times thing, pre-trib rapture, all that. My mom's more, she don't know if God wants her to leave Cincinnati, you know, down here. To move. You know, and I really, you know, I care about my parents a lot, and you know, I want them to be safe. But I've just given them to God, you know, because they are believers, and you know, Jesus died for them too. And his protection is for them too. I just was always, and I've known they were going to be down here. I've been convinced of it. I was just concerned that they were going to wait too long and just make it out with the clothes on her back. And that's fine too. I mean, you know, we came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. So we're not, you know, promised to have, you know, our possessions with us at all times. But, you know, they've worked hard. They both have their own homes, and they, you know, if they use wisdom, they can sell their homes and come down here now, you know, with a little bit of comfort, instead of in peril, later. So, with that said, I've known they're going to be down here, but I wasn't sure, you know, how the Lord was going to do it, you know, before tribulation or after tribulation. My mom's just, she's just not feeling it, you know, moving. And my dad is not feeling in times at all. So I've been praying for him, I really have. And my dad recently, last week, he came down by himself, took off work and came down, and he spent a week with me. And we stayed here at my house and went to Gatlinburg, and he really fell in love with Tennessee again. I mean, he's been out here his whole life. I mean, we used to come out here as kids. We used to, all these lakes down here, we would, you know, go to these lakes. But, you know, he really fell in love with Tennessee again. And he was just taken aback by the beauty. And, you know, he's a country guy himself. You know, he's from, all his family's from Kentucky, you know, so he's used to living in an area like this. So that was the first kind of thing that happened. The Lord really kind of like softened his heart. He really had the desire to want to live here. And he kept talking about, you know, Garrett, he's already retired from his job, but me and him did this other company, this other job, and he's saying, you know, when I'm going to work about 5 more years, and I want to move down here. You know, I want to buy a house around you, and you know, cause he's single, and I'm his only son, and you know, we're really good friends, so he just, you know, he wants to live around me. Because, I mean, his kids are his life, and not me being his only son, I'm a big part of his life, and he misses me. So he was, you know, talking like he was going to come down here, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years. I didn't say anything to correct him, but I was like, you know, Dad, that's not going to be possible. There's not that much time left. But I was, you know, happy that he was saying those things. So he just had a great time, and the Lord blessed our time down here, and, you know, it was really neat. So he goes home, and he's even telling my mom, you know, Sherry, I think that, you know, and see, it went from 5 or 6 years, now it became 4 or 5 years. He told my mom, you know, in 4 or 5 years, I'm going to, you know, move down there with Garrett, sell my houses and, you know, move down here in my little place. And so I was like, that's neat. And so I would say about 2 or 3 days ago, my dad called me and said, Garrett, did you hear what happened to McKenna? McKenna's my niece, and it's obviously his granddaughter, my sister's daughter, who my mom is raising. She's 9 years old. He said, did you hear about what happened with McKenna? And I said, no, what? And my dad was, like, very serious because he kind of, like, you know, it's the spirits inside of me, but whenever I mention about what God's doing with me down here or with us or what God has shown us, the times in which we live, even if I touch on the rapture, you know, he gets really, the spirits inside of him really come alive, and they get angry, and he gets angry. It's, you know, fear, it's the fear, and it gets him angry. He doesn't want to hear the truth. He was pretty calm, and he said, you know, McKenna came home from school, and he was telling me this like he believed it, which was amazing. But he said McKenna came home from school and said to my mom, Gammy, I have something very important to tell you. This is a 9-year-old kid. He said, I walked in the bathroom at school today, and a man spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go to Tennessee because there you'll be safe. And, you know, I was hearing this, you know, secondhand, knowledge from my dad. I didn't hear directly from McKenna out of that time. My dad told me McKenna heard a voice. She heard the voice of a person speaking to her. And my dad was like, you know, it seemed like he believed it. And he was like, for the first time in years, finally ready to, like, have a peaceable conversation about, you know, the possibility that something is going on. I could tell that he, you know, his, I don't know, it was just amazing. I'm not saying he had this huge breakthrough and that we were just, you know, he was ready to pack up and move, but for the first time he let his guard down, and he asked me, he said, so what's so special about Tennessee? Why is God picking that place? And I just try to explain to him what's going on. I mean, I didn't want to get too deep into it because we all know it's like, you know, it's not about where you are. It's about, you know, where you are in Christ, you know. So anybody listening, you ain't got to be here. It's just maybe for us in this certain part of the country, since this is a closer area, God's sending us here. You know, if you're in, you know, Canada, I'm sure God has a place in Canada. You know, and, you know, if you're in Asia, I'm sure God has a refuge in Asia. So it's not about everybody in the world crying this 1 10-square-mile area. So,
right.
So, you know, like I said, he didn't have a great breakthrough, nothing profound, but he was finally willing to let me talk. He would never let me talk about it before. He was, you know, because he's Baptist, and, my cousins are ordained Baptist, and the preacher that we went to church for years and years has been ministering for 50 years, and they just teach that preacher of rapture, and we're just going to escape all these things. And, you know, like we were talking in the conference call beforehand, you know, my dad can't receive from me because, you know, the life of sin that I lived all those years, you know, the things that I did, and he knows I've changed now, but he can't comprehend that, you know, that I have more of the truth than Pastor Smith or my cousin Brad, who are ministers. He cannot comprehend that, you know, and that's okay. I mean, I'm not offended in that. He's in another vessel, even my niece. So I was pretty interested. I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I said, I heard what happened. And she said, yeah. She said, Garrett McKenna said she heard a voice of a man. And McKenna said, Jamie, it was the most powerful voice I've ever heard in my life. And I was, you know, wanted to talk to McKenna. I didn't get to. She wasn't home from school yet. My mom finally started to, like, you know, realize, wow, you know, this is, it's almost like, I think my mom's realizing that a certain momentum has been unleashed that now can't be stopped concerning them moving. Like the dominoes have begun to fall. I think God's beginning to set the pieces in place. And I should say, too, what my mom was telling me, she expounded on it, you know, better because she actually heard it from my niece. She was saying, you know, Garrett, this is strange because, you know, you used to talk about, you know, us moving to Tennessee with you, you know, before, you know, months and months ago, whatever, when I was back there in Cincinnati. And she, you know, after I would leave, McKenna would say, you know, Gammy, I don't want to go to Tennessee. You know, I want to stay here with my friends. You know, she plays sports. She's in dance class. And she, you know, she's really well-adjusted. And she doesn't want to leave. So for her to have said what she said, it didn't come from an idol in a 9-year-old child's heart. It really came from, you know, her hearing the voice of God and just repeating what she heard. So I was able to talk to McKenna later that night, and I asked her about what happened. And I just wanted to get clarity, and I asked her, was it an audible voice? Did you hear it with your ears? And she said, no. I said, did you hear it inside of your head? She goes, yes. And I said, was it your voice, or was it somebody else's voice? And she said, it was somebody else's voice. And I can tell you, it's like, I would say, the 4 or 5 times, a lot of times I'm led of the Spirit. I'm led of my own conscience, you know, because it's intertwined with the Holy Spirit. It's you know, in one union with the Holy Spirit. I would say there's probably been 4 or 5 times in my life when I've heard that clear voice inside of my own head that wasn't my own, that was somebody else's, but I didn't hear it with my ears, but I heard it inside of my heart, and it was booming, and it was and it was powerful, and it was you know, no bones about it. It was the voice of God. And so I knew that McKenna had heard the voice of God. And it was, I was convinced, and I think my mom and dad are convinced too. I just, like I said, I think it's the first domino to fall in the series of events that are going to take place soon for them, you know, to move down here. So,
amen. What did the voice say again, Garrett?
It said to my niece, I want you to go to Tennessee because there you'll be safe, because there is where you're going to be safe. You know, I try to get it from her. She said the voice told her more stuff, too. But she said the only thing she can remember was it told her to go to Tennessee. It wasn't like, from what I get from her, it wasn't like I'm sending you to Tennessee. It was like, go. Like God issued, I mean, and that's amazing. I mean, God telling a 9-year-old child this. She has no power to bring this to pass. You know, but maybe she's the only one listening that could hear. You know, but it said to her, go to Tennessee because there you will be safe. Or there I will keep you safe. Something of that effect. And, you know, I think the Lord knew she would, tell my parents that because it's their choice to make, you know. McKenna's, you know, under their authority, and I think the message was for them because, you know, when we're adults, I think God speaks to us, but we have this great ability to cast down the voice of God. You know, if you're walking in the flesh or if you have idols, you can hear the voice of God clearly. I've done it. I've even done it recently, you know. Know God has a command for you. God wants you to do something, and you just cast it down, and you suffer for it, you know. But when somebody comes to you and relays that message, you can't cast it down as easily because it's not inside of your own head. When it's spoken in word form, it gives birth to life. And when something's spoken, it stays in your memory. And I know that, you know, my mom and dad both hearing the voice of my niece speaking those words from the Lord, it just, you know, sent shockwaves to them.
The Lord can do it, can't he?
Yes.
They weren't hearing your voice, you know. You're just their little boy, you know.
Sure.
The Lord had to send a little girl that didn't have any theological axe to grind and wasn't raised up in, or isn't being raised up in what you're being raised up in, to come and give them the same message. Praise the Lord.
I'm just praying that, you know, like I said, I'm just praying that they can leave sooner rather than later. But, you know, even if they come later, that's okay too. I just would hate to see anybody, wait too long. But I think it's already clear the Lord's ordained this to happen. So I'm confident that it's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. I agree. You know, I was looking at a text here in Psalm 107 that said that it's saying the exact same thing you're saying, Garrett, about some people will listen to the voice and they'll move quickly. Others have more idols, and it takes more. They have to go through more before they're ready to just listen to God. And somewhere along that line, you know, from easy to hard, Christianity is all going to hear this voice, you know. For some, they're going to have to go through a beating. For others, they're going to hear it very quickly. Some take more repentance than others. And God knows how much we need to go through in order to get to the place where we've repented and we don't need any more chastening. And Psalm 107 is exactly about this. It's exactly about what we're talking about. Let me just read this to you, or a couple of portions of it to you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Yes, he is so merciful. Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Well, you know who the adversary is, right? It's the devil, right? It is the beast around us. He's redeemed us. Those that know the truth and speak the gospel, they can do it. They can say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they will speak it, and they will see it too. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And isn't it so? That's what God is going to do. He's shown us this in dreams, that he's going to gather to this place. And like you said, Garrett, other places, from the north, south, east, and west, those that have finally decided that the good news is true, that they're redeemed, and they've repented of all their religious idols, and they're ready to follow the Lord. And he goes on to say, what happens to those that haven't already decided? What's God going to bring them through to bring them to this decision, you know? And it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. They found no city of habitation. Now, you'll notice city of habitation is mentioned several times in Psalm 107 as a place of provision and a place of safety. But right now he's speaking about safety because he says that these people have been redeemed from the hand of the adversary. So they found no city of habitation. They were suffering in the wilderness, but they had not yet found this city. And so it says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. So this place is a place of deliverance, right? Verse 7 says, he led them also by a straight way. So they weren't circling around out there in the wilderness anymore. He was pointing them right straight in the right direction. He led them also by a straight way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So this was God's deliverance, his provision, his protection, his redemption from the hand of the enemy, right? But some people, you know, they take a little more beating than others to be convinced. And God knows what we need. And you can't force anybody that is living in their own self-righteousness. You can't help them. You can't make them escape the things that are coming up on the world. You know, the Bible's very plain in Galatians. Let me read a piece of that to you. I'll come back to this. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we know when you repent and you turn to the Lord, the one who actually reaps what you should have reaped was the Lord himself. He did it at the cross. But as long as you're out there in your stubborn self-will, he's not bearing that. You are. He says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So you say, well, I'd like my parents, my friends to escape corruption. Well, as long as they're sowing the bad seed. You know, we talked about Abraham the other day who lived under the curse and didn't see the promises come to pass for him. Until he got a name change, Abraham, and until he was circumcised, cutting off of the flesh. He didn't sow the flesh anymore. So God, you know, when you come to God, that's what he wants to do. He wants you to sow a righteous seed so that you can reap a good reward. Some people are stubborn. They're self-willed. They're hung up on the world. They're addicted to the world. And so they got to go through a lot. But you'd like them to escape it, but God says no. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. So you got people wandering around out there in that wilderness, reaping what they're sowing. This is the only way they will learn. They reap what they sow. If you take away that reaping, and they can just sow to the flesh all they want, and they just have nothing but a good time, they won't ever learn their lesson. God says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Now, if you don't want to reap, friends, what you have sown, you come to the Lord in full repentance, and he will bear that curse upon himself as Jesus bore it upon the tree. But if you don't want to do that, you want to go your own way, you want to make up your own religion, you don't care what the Bible says, you want to hear what you want to hear, guess what? You need to go another round in the wilderness. Maybe this time you'll be tenderized when you come back around and God will lead you to the city of habitation. But the Word of God can't be broken. We would love to, you know, have our friends and loved ones all escape all this. But sometimes they got to go under the tenderizing hammer for a while, you know, get whooped around a little bit. And then they'll be crying out to the Lord and the Lord say, okay, here's the way, straighten this road out, no more circles, go right straight here, you know. And he said, he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And so, you know, back where we were, he led them by a straight way that they might go to the city of habitation. And I believe that this is the city of God. I believe it's the refuge. I believe it's like Lot, who was led to that little city, Zoar. You know, I believe it's the area that we're building by the grace of God and God's building over there in the Tennessee Valley. I believe that's exactly where I believe God has quite a few of these out there, these cities of refuge. And he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and the hungry soul he filleth with good. See, the problem is, so many people, they're longing all right, and they're hungry all right, but it's for the world. It ain't for the Lord. That's where their desire is. So they have to go under the tenderizing hammer again, you know, and until they're ready to cry out to the Lord. He says, such as sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. Why is all this going to happen? Why is tribulation coming upon God's people? Because they've rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bonds in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in sunder. This reminds me of when God's people were captive in Babylon. You know, Babylon stretched across the Euphrates River there, and there was literally an iron gate going across the river that actually went down beneath the top of the river. And when Cyrus's army came along, they actually swam underneath that iron bar, and they went in to on both sides of the river, and they came to these gates of brass, which they found unlocked. They were usually locked, but they were left unlocked. These people were so confident, they wasn't worried about the enemy coming in. And they came in and they took the city. And as you know, Cyrus, who the Lord named as his shepherd and his anointed, literally the word Messiah, he came and he set the people free from Babylon. You know what? The Messiah is going to set the people free from Babylon when they've had enough of going the hard way and they turn to the Lord. He's going to bring them out. I remember Rex's vision about going into the cities in these times and preaching the gospel, and God permitted them to bring people out who were ready to come out and to bring them to a place of safety. And even the guards around the city with their guns and things couldn't see them. And, you know, there's nobody can stop the Lord from bringing you to a place of safety when you've had enough. But if you want some more and you're not ready to turn loose, you may have to make a few more rounds in the wilderness, right? He goes on to say, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. There's a clear reason for it. See, their soul abhorreth all manner of food, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Some people don't turn loose easily. They just don't turn loose easily. They're not broken easily, you know. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sendeth his word and healeth them. Notice, when the Lord gets ready to save you, he's going to do it with his word. If you're not going to believe his word, stay in the wilderness. Until you're ready to believe what his word says, you're going to stay there. And when you come out, it'll be because you cry unto the Lord and you believe what he has sent to save you. That's his word. And he delivereth them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. I'm going to drop down a little bit to verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and water springs into a thirsty ground. See, the Lord's going to be doing this all over the world to bring people to repentance, to bring them down. They have loved the world, and God's got a way to change people's minds. And this is it right here. A fruitful land into a salt desert, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth a wilderness into a pool of water, and dry land into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell. So he turns a wilderness into a Garden of Eden, and he makes those people who have decided that they are hungering and thirsting after righteousness to go there, to dwell there. He's their provision. He's their protection. See? And look what it says. That they may prepare a city of habitation. Praise the Lord. The Lord is preparing a city of habitation. Not too far from you. Okay? But you may go around in circles a while before you get there. But then, of course, the Lord can also lead you by a straight way. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? But some people just can't walk straight. So, since they walk crooked, they go round and round and round. Even though they come very close to the way out, they just go round and round and round. Like those children of Israel did in the wilderness, right? And sow fields and plant vineyards and get them fruits of increase. Wow, right in the middle of all this devastation and destruction around them, God has made a place for them, a city of habitation, a place of provision, a place of food. And he blesseth them also, so they are multiplied greatly. Oh, I know this is going to happen, folks. I know it. We've had so many revelations from God about this. He is going to multiply us greatly. Like, that's the whole purpose for him making a place like this, where we can study the Word and be taught by men with different anointings, you know, and prepare to go forth with the gospel and bring the good news and multiply it greatly. Now, and he suffered not their cattle to decrease. So he took good care, you know, out there in the world, you know, out in the wilderness, yeah. They're all going to be dying from all the diseases, but where people are not under the curse and can pray over their cattle and over their chickens and over, you know, on and on, their crops, well, the Lord will hear their prayers. And again, they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, trouble, and sorrow. See, some people, after they get lifted up by the Lord and blessed by the Lord, they get lifted up in their heads, you know, and they begin to rebel again. That's the cycle that Israel went through in the wilderness in order to teach us this. Through oppression, trouble, and sorrow. So if they get proud and lifted up, he brings them down again. He poureth contempt upon princes, and he causes them to wander in the waste where there is no way. Isn't that interesting? No matter how important you are, right? If you get lifted up, God can humble you. Yet setteth he the needy on high from affliction. Those when they've decided they are needy of God and needy of his blessings and needy of his promises, then God is able to lift them up, put them in a high place, and maketh him families like a flock. And I'm convinced of this. The Lord's going to do that for all of his children in these days. I'm not talking about this necessarily making more children. I'm talking about spiritual children coming in out of the world, you know, like Abraham, father of a multitude, we spoke about recently. The upright shall see it and be glad, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise will give heed to these things, and they will consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. If you're wise, you don't want to keep going around in a circle out there under great distress and tribulation and lack and the curse, you know, chastening you. If you're wise, you can go that straight line. You know, God can provide you a straight line to those high places. He sets the needy on high from affliction. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be set on high? The heavenly places in Jesus, right? Hallelujah.